I'm ready.
I'm ready.
Ow, damn it. I just pinched myself and made a sound as I did it. This is Core.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome back to Core. This is the Heroes of the Storm podcast called Core. And if you didn't know that, well, then what the hell are you doing here? My name is Scott Johnson with Bo Schwartz and John Jagger. And gentlemen, today we stand at the precipice of a major news announcement. Everyone has been asking for the last year or more, what happened to Arena? We now have an answer to what happened to Heroes of the Storm Arena. And in true Blizzard form, like heretofore they have done with Heroes of the Storm itself, they have renamed it. Don't forget, originally this was Blizzard Dota, and then it was Blizzard All-Stars, and now it's Heroes of the Storm. Well, the sub-mode they were going to make was called Arena, and then they said, no, we're going to call it another thing, and it's going to also be a little bit different, and also adhere completely to John's prediction that it will be weekly and something he may not be interested in. That's right, ladies and gentlemen, we have the Brawl, the weekly Brawl. Yeah, starts when? Do we know? We don't know when, do we? Do we have a date?
We do.
Oh, we do.
Oh, we do. So PTR, I think they're PTRing it. I saw a tweet, unconfirmed, October 10th, but on the Blizzard site says, I believe it's launching October 17th.
Whoa.
I think I have that right.
That is real soon.
That's dangerous soon. Yeah. That's like a look under your seat. Surprise, it's right there soon.
Now, we're all going to have thoughts on this. I think we need to hit this real fast and hard here.
Okay.
Is this, John, I'm going to talk to you first. Are you at all interested in this, knowing now that it's another one of these Blizzard weekly, Hearthstone does it, Overwatch does it, hell, even in some ways, WoW has weekly things that are sort of weird. Not in the same way, but you know what I mean. So you now have a weekly Brawl. How does it land on you? Are you interested in doing it? And will October 17th be a good day for you or a day where you just don't care?
I think it's definitely going to be a good day. How good of a day depends on a lot of things. I'm excited about the news. I think everybody who heard about the Brawl was pretty excited. They gave us a pretty cool little trailer for it. And there's a lot of neat ideas in here. The only part where I start to get really skeptical and start to put on my, well, hold on, let's tune down the hype train hat, is I do not care about Brawls in Hearthstone. I played maybe twice Brawls in Overwatch. So my history shows I don't like this mode in other games. But Heroes could be the exception to that rule. And I'm really hoping that it is. And listening to some of their ideas, it sounds like it could be. Now, I will say, personal preference, I wish it wasn't weekly. I wish it was all random all the time. You don't know what you're going to get necessarily. Because at least from a content creator standpoint, I think it would be fun to do streams and just say, all right, people get in. We don't know what we're going to get, rather than we know we're going to be playing this one mode for this week. And then maybe it'll be different next week.
That's
the one thing I kind of wish.
So in that case, yeah, I mean, they haven't gotten into huge detail about this, and maybe they will let us do this. Like maybe when this launches, there'll be the weekly Brawl, but like Hearthstone, or rather, excuse me, like Overwatch, there'll be a way to go set a bunch of settings for a very highly mutated custom match. Maybe that's all there on the 17th as well, because they didn't detail that or get into it.
No, yeah. I did see details about it. They're not. There's no customization.
None at all. Yet.
So it functions like the Brawls in Overwatch and in Hearthstone, where they're prepped. They're prepped. That being said, I think there's going to be more variety than you see in Overwatch, and I think even there may even be more variety than Hearthstone has available to it because of the mutators.
But you and I can go, Bo, right now into Overwatch. The three of us can get in there, and I can say, all right, custom map. We're going to play on, I don't know, Reinhardt's deal there, the castle unit. We're going to do that, and then, but everybody's got way more health, and their ultimates pop every 5 seconds, and we're floaty, too. Like, that's a thing we can do right now. So we can go mess with that in there and stream that weirdness if we want to, kind of John style. You're telling me that it would be that they are not doing this with this like that. I was sure that was going to be a part of this.
I am not 100%, but I did read there's an article on GameSpot where they did an interview. I'm pretty certain if it wasn't asked, it came up in that interview. And it was there was a sense of this isn't what's coming. Mm. This is arena mode. So they're zany, crazy rule sets, but they're designed for the whatever the week is. There's no variety, no controllable levers for you. Mm. But I think there was some mention that in eventuality this kind of stuff could come. I don't think it's off the table. I just think that's not what we're getting here.
Okay.
So that's not what we're getting on the 17th, but who knows what's coming in the future.
Yeah.
Some of the ideas sound really cool. I know it's in the notes, so I'm sure we'll talk about it, but Ghost Protocol sounds awesome. So I love some of the modes that they're talking about, and it's really exciting to me. I just, you know, like I said, my history is traditionally, if there's a reward for doing it, and we know there's going to be in these, I play until I get the reward, and then I don't touch them again for the rest of the week. Mm-hmm. And I was probably hoping for an alternative play mode that I would maybe stick with a bit more, but we'll see. Again, I don't want to be super down on it or super hard on it. It's not out, and there's a lot, in my opinion, to be excited about with it so far. But
think about the audience for this too a little bit. So you're someone, I mean, you do show about the game, and you're intensely, you have an intense invested interest in it. But you know, Brawls, I think there's a well-worn tradition in TCGs to release like new like introductory card packs where you buy a pre-made deck for you and a friend. It's got two decks and you play. It's very easy to set up, nowhere near being competitive or of any interest to anyone in a try-hard mode, but it's fun. Mm-hmm. And I think this is designed specifically to be fun. So, you know, Mr. Try-Hard Face and who want, you know, I press button, who wants to just be number one, is going to look at this and be like, Blizzard, this sucks. You're making Care Bear content. Like, that's, I think your reaction is probably pretty normal for your demographic.
Well,
I think, yeah. I think there are a lot of people who are looking to find an accessible way into this game. And I think it's free. We're not paying for it. So I find if someone finds value from it, it's not bad. And what I saw today looks exciting. I don't know that I'll play it that much, but I'm happy to have content for the game. It's been a dry year. We got two new maps and bam, we're getting effectively three new ones, even though it's in this weird mode and it reuses tile sets. It's a lot of new content all at once. And I can tell, you know, on Twitter by the community members that they're all very excited about the launch of this thing. So I'm willing to reserve a bit of judgment until I play it. Every new content for this game sounds great.
Yeah, I mean, I think we're all in the same boat as far as wait and see, and I'm genuinely excited as well, even though I still think that stuff should be in custom mode and people should be able to mess with it all they want, but whatever, that may come down the road. But the question I wanted to raise here, or at least the thing I wanted to say, is, and I may have said this in previous shows, so forgive me, listeners, if I've done this, but it seems like it's in their best interest for the health of the core game to have a weird offshoot that's fun and you're okay with it occasionally and you kind of poke your head in there and maybe there's a reward. And like John, maybe you play it once and you never play it again the rest of the week because you got your reward and you're out. Maybe that's actually in their benefit. They don't want to make something way more fun than the core game. Like, that's a weird, think about it for a second. That's a weird place for them to be as developers, designers, and creators of a game like this. If they accidentally stumble into something that is demonstrably more fun than the game it's based on, then they've done a disservice to the game in a sense, because now you've deprecated the existing game that everybody thought they loved and you've given them something that they like even more. So they must be walking I don't know, but it feels like they must be walking a strange line of, well, this can't be too fun. Maybe not even using these words, but they've got to figure out a way to hone that. Like if Overwatch's brawl or the weekly brawl in Hearthstone or any of those sorts of things, if fishing in World of Warcraft was a total blast and was fun, more fun than anything else in the mind. Game.
Way to pick the least fun thing in the entire World of Warcraft.
Why can't fishing just cap at 500 in vanilla and it just be fishing?
They keep
adding content every expansion. There are people paid. There's like, how many hundreds of thousands invested in labor hours for the people developing each? for fishing.
I know.
For what to many of us look like pretty much the stupidest part of World of Warcraft. There are people that love it.
Yeah.
And they serve a wide client base. And so I think.
And that's what you're talking. And that's what you're talking about here. Like, I mean, first of all, Martha, fishing in World of Warcraft is no better than it was in vanilla. All right, there you go. I've done my part. Anyway, the point is, what was I going to make a point about there? Oh, they are serving a larger audience than tryhards trying to clear every quest and rank up two or three positions in their Hero League play every day. That's a big part of their base for sure. There's another part of their base that's like, I just want to play AI. That's all I want to do. And there's another part of that base who wants to just do quick matches with their friends. And then there's some real hardcore five manners who are all trying to get Team League going. Well, they also vacillate between each other. The AI people graduate to quick matches. And sometimes you just do an AI match because you want to test a hero out. So they've got these methods and ways and places for everybody to spend their time. Why not another unique thing to do? They just can't make it great. And that's a weird thing. That's all I wanted to point out, and it's more of a philosophical design thing, which I like talking about those things, but there's no real end to that conversation. But do you understand what I'm saying, John? Like this idea that it needs to be good and compelling, but it can't be great because then you're screwed.
I think it can be great because let's throw it out there. Let's say that everybody over at Blizzard tries this Battle Right game, and they're like, oh, man, this is cool. I mean, we've seen them maybe borrow some concepts from other games in like Overwatch, where we played Lucio Ball, which was eerily familiar to maybe other game experiences we might have had.
Yeah. So much the entire gaming world saw that stuff and went, are they doing a deal with those guys over there? Like we were sure it was a crossover thing. I was sure of it, positive. And all I was going off was a piece of artwork that showed the field. I didn't even see the big ball yet. And when I saw the big ball, I went, even going to go further into this whole thing. So absolutely, I know where you're coming from there. They do that.
So let's say they say, we really like this Battle Right game. Let's try it in Heroes. Let's see if we can build something in Heroes. And they put together some little thing where, all right, you get these heroes, you can pick them, you get your first level talent, and then the second round you get your second level talent, and then, so on and so on. And they just throw it in as a fun mode, and it catches fire. And all of a sudden, the queues for getting into that for that week are way higher than even getting into normal mode. I don't think that's a detriment to the game. To me, what that then tells Blizzard is we need to pay attention to this. This needs to be an area of focus for us because they've never been afraid to step outside of the MOBA constraints. In fact, they typically don't even like to be called a MOBA. Mm-hmm. So if they find something that people like more than the core game, I think they would just lean into it. I think they'd be totally fine with it.
Do you think, Bo, in that case, they could just take some of the ideas, like whatever they learn from this? Do you think it's possible we'll see some of that, if it goes well, introduced or injected into the core game without ruffling the feathers of all the angry tryhards?
I mean, well, that's Hearthstone has definitely been the case for that. Like, that's definitely been the case with Hearthstone. I don't know if they're learning anything from Overwatch Brawls. Mm-hmm. Each game is its own unique space, but my sense is there's got to be some kind of information they got to glean from this. Yeah. But more so, what MOBA has this, right? Like, this is also pretty, like, mutators are common. I feel like I've heard of that stuff in the first-person shooter world. I know Left 4 Dead had mutators and weekly events. Like, shooters are no stranger to this kind of thing. Mm-hmm. I guess it's not really a new thing for TCGs either. But I'm hard-pressed to think of a MOBA mode that has a dedicated arena brawl, this type of thing. I don't think another game has it.
Yeah.
And I think this is a way for Heroes to further solidify its identity as like lore chaos, like just lore and gameplay. Like, just they're leaning into the whole, some of the stuff I listened to, and I'm like, I wonder if any of them listened to Next Jeopardy and got some ideas. Probably not. This is long in development before. Right. But the idea is kind of to like, what part, there's some people who are going to hear about Ghost Protocol and hate playing against Nova and can never win and not touch it that week because that seems so unfair and unbalanced. They're going to die all the time. Mm. And so I think they're just throwing all reason out the window with this kind of stuff. I think that's the fun. I just think they're there over there snickering and being like, hey, we're going to ruin the MOBA genre, but people will like it.
Yeah, in a way, it's a great thing to tie their wagon to, because then they can establish the norm by doing that for themselves. At least the expectations of players are that they're going to do some interesting things with the game that you wouldn't see otherwise. And then when they do it, that becomes less and less sacrosanct. Like you've poured urine on the holy statue kind of activity that people sometimes get into when they're really protective of the games they play. And they're more open to Blizzard doing some weird things. I don't know why the urine example came up. That's just the way my brain works.
It's oddly specific.
Yeah, very oddly specific. I swear I'm not pouring urine on any sacred statues that I'm aware of. Not my waking hours.
Well, let me start with, are you pouring urine on any statues? Let's maybe roll it back to a base level and then build from there.
It's kind of like when someone does a hardware announcement and says, our router is the best router out of all the routers we've tested. And I go, oh, now hold on. Which ones did you test then? Because that's different than all the routers ever made or all the routers on this. Yeah, so I totally get your point. And let me just say for the record, for those keeping track, I've peed on nothing other than in a toilet, not on a toilet. All right. And there are no, as far as I know, statues that have experienced anything remotely like my urine near me. All right. Is that very, I sound like I'm on the debates tonight. Hey, so here, let's talk about some of these things. You mentioned it before. Maps are going to be laid out in really weird ways. For example, Infernal Shrines becomes a very tight two-lane map. They're basically new constructions or new map layouts and constructions, but they're using the same tile sets from existing map stuff. So you're going to see, at least the video shows, and a lot of that footage, you know, frankly, was from the original reveal for Arena at BlizzCon. So they did a little mix and match of some old and new stuff, but you can see kind of how they've gone a little bit nuts with that, and that looks neat. Some of the games and mutators include this, and you mentioned it, John. We'll talk about it in more detail. Ghost Protocol is a 5v5 Nova on Towers of Doom experience, if you want to call it that, where you kill another Nova player, then your core will shoot the enemy's core. So it ties the whole map. Let's see. So it ties into the map's mechanic itself, and all snipe shots are one shots. This was discussed in some detail on the GameSpot interview and sounds like maybe the one that I'm most interested in, and I can't believe I am because I don't like Nova.
Me too, but maybe that's what makes it so compelling, right? Is we're not Nova players, but you say, well, it's going to be five Novas on five Novas. It's going to be stupid, and everybody's going to just be taking blind snipe shots at each other, and it'll be fun. And all of a sudden, it's like, all right, well, I'll give it a try. And it's kind of a cool way to, you know, try out Nova without having to buy her and take her into a real game.
Right. That sounds like such a reasonable response. Smash cut to like 4 hours or next week. And John's like, this mode, I hate this mode so much. You're killing me. Oh, my God. Whose idea was it to put 10 Nova? This mode is terrible. I'm going to talk about it in court next week.
Yeah.
All right. That may happen.
I don't think you're wrong.
I'm not wrong. No. It's good. I think, and skipping ahead a little bit, matchmaking, they're going to cut the rules loose on it, which means, you know, we could end up versus fan. okay, maybe that's extreme, but, you know, some of these are going to be rage inducing. I have no doubt about it.
Well, see, that's a good question. They're not going to be as, because it's a more of a throwaway, you know, haha experience, they're not going to be that concerned about your matchmaking and MMR perfection and all that, which is already a monumental scientific struggle on the regular side of the game. So you could, in theory, just get trolled all day by a bunch of really good players trying to blow off steam. We're going to have to be okay with it, I guess, right? Like,
they're prioritizing speed. They want you to get in and get out quickly, which is, like, we've always talked about the speed of finding games, and it's pretty quick, even compared to, like, other MOBA experiences, but it's still a 20-minute game is a full 30 to 40-minute investment sometimes with the loading screens and the draft screen if you're doing that. Like, it's... So I think this mode is also going to be like, yep, you want to play? Here you go. Boom.
Yeah.
And just get in. And if that's the case, that's very appealing as well as I've got 30 minutes to burn. Let me play this.
Yeah, so. I agree. It is hard. When I sit down for a quick something and I'm looking at my Blizzard games, what usually happens is I'm alone, you know, I'll usually err on the side of, well, I'll do a Diablo bounty or something. Or I'll quickly get into WoW and check the auction house or rub out that quest real quick or whatever. And then And then I'll consider, oh, well, maybe Heroes, but none of my friends are online. That's a 30-minute, 40-minute thing. Do I really want to? I mean, it's worth it if my friends were here, but if they're not, it's not exactly worth it because I've only got a half an hour. So yeah. I don't know if this game will be over by then, but I know I can do those other things before then. So yeah, and more these days than not, a quick couple of Battle Rite games are just what I need for scratching that itch. And so this might, I mean, John made a really good point earlier. This may be that itch to scratch. It may be just this like quick in and out sort of experience. Everything I say today sounds like a sexual innuendo. I don't know why that's happening to me. I'm peeing on statues.
You're the only one that thinks that. Yeah. Neither John or I are smiling like idiots over here.
That's why I keep
John,
hitting
I have a question. Let me put it to you this way. We had a game, I think, the other day where I was like, you need to play Rexxar. Try Rexxar. And how did the Rexxar game make you feel? Did you enjoy that Rexxar, your first Rexxar game?
No, but I will say this. I think a large part of why I didn't like that Rexxar game had to do not so much with Rexxar being bad, but with us going up against the perfect comp for Warhead Junction and me on a character I had never played before.
Right, right. So what might be nice, because this is, I mean, we quick matched it, right? So it still feels like painful as a time investment, even though you're like, it's quick match, don't care, I'll lose, whatever. You still didn't have a good time. But I still think Rexxar is a hero you should play. What if it's a 5-minute game? What if it's a quick game and you get access to the alts? Like, you may just like playing that hero in that mode, and then you might start taking it to the other mode. And when, you know, you get comfortable with it. Like, I think there's some value there to playing heroes you don't play often.
Yeah, no, it's definitely been good for me when we've done that with ARAM. I don't like ARAM otherwise, but I've said this on the show, just to reiterate it, my reacquired love for people like Morales, I really like playing Morales, came from being in ARAM where she's terrible, but I got a handle on her. I got her kind of figured out. Same thing happened with Kerrigan for me. Never liked Kerrigan, always felt funny, no good. Got her a couple times in ARAM, felt better about her, and now I really like her, and her skin right now is badass. So, you know, these have a way of doing that, and I'll bet you this Brawl thing will have a way of doing that. The only problem is if it's just 5 Novas on 5 Novas from Monday to Sunday, I don't think I want to do that more than once. Like,
and here's where I'm not clear, Scott, on some of what they've explained, because it feels like they're holding some stuff back. Mm-hmm. And I think there'll be a map for the week, but some of the factors will be random.
Okay.
So not every time, if it's Towers of Doom, will you get Ghost Protocol.
Oh.
There may be some pick from these three heroes. There may be only this hero, or there may be bring your own hero. Mm. But it's not clear exactly how it works, so we're going to see it next week.
Mm. I was a little confused about that as well. Yeah. And if that is something that can change from match to match, my interest goes up way more. Mm. Because I like the idea of it being different. Like, I'm with Scott on the, you know, Ghost Protocol sounds awesome, but I think I play my three games and I get my gold and I get my little picture and I say, all right, peace. I'm going to see you next week, Brawl.
Yep.
But if there are factors that change from, you know, match to match, that makes not only those three games easier, but it makes me more inclined to say, oh, let's get more people in here and let's just do that real quick and just play it.
One of the things that I will highlight here, it was from the GameSpot interview as well, is that we've talked about Where is Arena, and I actually don't remember who was being interviewed. I read the interview, though, and it was actually at BlizzCon 2015 when they announced it. They were not happy with it. That's why we haven't heard anything. And it's not really news, but for them to emphasize it again, I think was important. So since that time, they've tripled the amount of content for Brawls. I have to imagine that they have had similar conversations to what we're having here right now in developing this thing.
Yeah, I have a feeling.
So I'd like to put a lot of faith in the idea that perhaps they, you know, had this conversation already and made it better in anticipation of it.
Yeah.
And
hands down, even with my reservations, this mode seems more appealing than what was suggested as Arena back when it was revealed.
Well, right. And it was purely a suggestion. That's important to note here. I don't feel like what they showed us at 2015's BlizzCon was anything remotely like what we'd end up getting. Because at the time I felt like, well, this is really vague. I kind of get that there's 5-on-5 Illidans for some reason, but I really don't know what that is. What are they doing in there? This is all like crowd pleaser stuff. People are screaming about it. So it's exciting. And remember, this was part of their opening ceremony stuff when Dustin Browder got up and talked about it. And so it was fun, it was flashy, and it was all those things. But you just kind of came away going, Well, whatever that's going to be is not cooked yet. Like, that's going to need some more time to simmer. I didn't expect them to go, like, silent on it for so long. That was unexpected to me. But clearly they've come to a point now where they're much happier with it. So, yeah, hurry up and get it out. A few others, like the Punisher Arena. Players actually have Punishers on both sides at the beginning of the map. As you kill Punishers, players are rewarded 10 points. As they kill other players, they are rewarded 4 points. First team to hit 100 wins. It's a best of three, so no traditional core taken down business there or worrying about wave clears or any of that. Well, you may have to still worry about them, but that's not the point of the game anymore. It is to earn these points. I had a thought real quick before we talk about the Sky Temple and Garden Arena thing. And aren't you guys excited about Garden Arena?
It sounds better than Garden of Terror.
Yeah, that's a good point. Well, except that you have to kill Garden of Terrors and Shamblers. And collect their seeds. Collect their seeds, she'd say. You're going to have to collect a lot of seeds. And that's all about collecting 100 seeds first. But anyway, so what was I going to say? I was going to say that I forgot what it was. So let's talk about Sky Temple Arena. I totally forgot. I derailed myself. What was that? No, it was my own fault. I was going to say something about something. Oh, I got it. All right. Here's an idea for you, Blizzard. You can take this one if you want. You ought to have a weekly brawl or something like that, or when we get to the point where mutators are more common or whatever. I like the idea of the traditional game as it stands, but give us ways to shorten it. So if I want to play an AI game with a new hero and not be bothered with a bunch of players who are trying to, you know, play hard and I'm trying to just learn this character or whatever, it'd be cool if I could say, hey, this only goes till first fort is down, or this only goes until first set, whichever team gets the first three or two forts, depending on the lanes, down on the other team. And then the game's over. I'm not going through second wave or second deep forts. I don't have to go through the next set of towers, and I don't have to kill their core. I just have to get to that point. I feel like there's enough to do to get there, to kind of get your head around the character, at least its basic kit and that sort of stuff, so that you don't have to invest in a giant, long computer against computer game when really you're just there to test a few things with one character. Does that make sense? And I'm not saying that that's the only use for it. It might be fun with us talking about getting quick games. I would love to hop into something where I know it's only going to be like 7 to 10 minutes because we only go one layer of forts deep and then the game's over and I can get up and go to the thing I had to go to and not be late for it. Just an idea. Throwing it out there.
No, like, I'm totally with you on that idea because part of the reason I think this might ultimately really appeal to me is I'm always the guy that's like, let's do ARAM, let's do 2v2, let's do weird things that are not the actual game. Yeah. And nobody ever wants to. But I think one of the big reasons why nobody wants to is the time. You know, their ARAM match stage takes just as long as a normal hero stage.
Sometimes longer.
But
depends.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Depends on what's going on. But I think if that mode, if you could tell me that mode's going to take on average 10 minutes, I think we'd be all about doing it way more often. So I think kind of what you're talking about, where here's a more realistic to the game experience, but shorter, would really appeal to people, especially what I've noticed with you, Scott, is every hero you get into, you kind of get drugged to a little kicking and screaming, but you like them in modes where there's less pressure on you.
Yeah.
Because when we get into even quick match, which is supposed to be the fun, just throw it out, whatever match, you know, you want to win. You try hard. And so if you don't really want to branch out and do new heroes, but if you're in just a fun, dumb mode where it doesn't matter, you're more inclined to say, oh yeah, I'll give that hero a try and maybe discover, like you did, Morales or Kerrigan. And oh, I really love these characters. I just needed to spend more time with them without the pressure being turned way up.
That's a really good point. And I think you have exactly nailed down where my head's at with it. When I'm playing a game, even in quick match, and I'm feeling fairly serious about it, I don't want to blow it. So I go to my old reliables. I pick characters I know I can do well with in our comps or whatever, because I don't want to be that guy. I don't want to be the Schmerich Schmanch Meishmach, to be honest. I don't want to be that guy. Just kidding, Eric. Schmatch, we're kidding. Schmired. We're kidding. But giving me something where the stakes are lower, but the rewards are still somehow there, that's really interesting to me. I'm not asking, I sound like the definition of a Care Bear. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying that the pressure is on. So if we're in a real game and you guys say, all right, we're going to let's do this. Let's win this one. We've lost the last two. Let's win this. I'm not going to go, hey, guys, I think I'll take Gazlo out for a spin. Like, it's the last thing I'm going to do. I'm going to pull Jaina, or I'm going to grab Thrall, or grab somebody I'm good with. And I'm not going to mess around with that stuff. And so what ends up happening is I never mess around with that stuff. Or I don't go near Murky until I'm coaxed into it, like you said. So I have to think, because of the nature of the game and the pressure that you feel and not being able to swap characters on the fly and that sort of thing, which, by the way, could be one of the brawls if they wanted to make that interesting. Let people change characters all the time. That's interesting when you die. Anyway, because I'm that guy, I have to think I'm not alone. I'll bet there's a bunch like me that are feeling that same way. You want to perform well when you're in there, and you don't. It's not time for experimentation. It's time for go time. Give me something where it's not about go time. Now, ARAM is kind of that, but those are 40-minute games. They're too long. And that therefore becomes kind of boring, because it's fun with you guys and it's fun with fans, but I hate those things because I feel like it's just tug of war, and then it's this one lane, so there's really not much else you can do for variety, and you get some hearts, but that's really it. There's no fountains, so then when you're near death, you're near death forever, and if you didn't get lucky and get a healer on your team, well then an F you. Like, there's just problems with it that I just drive me crazy. But I've always seen the value in it that you see, John, very clearly, which is a fun, short thing to do. It's just not short enough and fun enough. This might be all the short and fun I need. So we'll see.
I like that on my dating profile.
Nice.
Oh, man. Scott, John's on fire. John's on fire.
Bo, what do you think? I agree. Yes. Bo, what do you think of Sky Temple Arena? I don't understand it. Can you tell me more about capturing temples using their energy beams to destroy the enemy core? Isn't that what we do now? Or is it just the core?
I don't know what it is about me that looks like I know anything about energy beams. I'm no nerd.
Nerd.
Wow.
Just kidding. Just joking. But I'm a total nerd. So, yeah, I watched a bit of the video. I think it's just literally it shoots the core, but I'm not clear. The DJ Tyrant released some YouTube videos with some previews on how it plays. But I didn't watch that one. So yeah.
It looks like
single, that was a long way of saying no.
It's like single point command and control is what it reminds me of. So we're not talking. We got a full blown Sky Temple, which is very big, and there's a lot of.
No, this is like a one lane map with two turrets.
Yeah,
it's no minions, and it looks real small. That's what there's three new maps: Punisher Arena, Sky Temple Arena, Garden Arena. They use the tile sets, but they're brand new layouts, so they're tiny. Yeah. And there's a crowd, right? Mm-hmm. And one of the biggest things I noticed in watching these previews is there's an audio track. Yeah. If someone gets a kill, it's all NBA Jam up in there or whatever.
Ooh, I love that.
Boom shakalak. Well, they don't do that, but there's like crowd yelling and stuff.
Part of me wishes that was in the full game. I love crowd reaction stuff. It reminds me of esports. So when you're at a good esport and everyone flips out, it'd be nice to have that, I don't know, kind of canned in the game a little bit.
So, I agree, actually. Yeah. You might want to have a toggle option if you play long session. It might, you know, you might get tinnitus from listening to that for like 8 hours.
Yeah.
I like it. I definitely think it's great for Brawl. And if we love it enough, hey, it ends up in the regular game. We're all happy because of the experimentation of the Brawl.
I agree. Also, if you decide that you want to have, eventually, I think we've talked a lot about them announcing or releasing announcer packs the way that Dota does, and those being purchasable by gold or money, and also, you know, other kinds of things like that, cosmetic stuff for sound. I would love it if in Arena you have the cheering crowd as default, but you could sell me like, I don't know, the Rhoda laugh track or MASH laugh track or some shitty old sitcom fake canned laughter track, so that instead of it going when somebody does something good, when, you know, Murky kills Diablo with a fish to the face, kind of like their cool cinematic for this thing they showed this week, I want it just to go just like some bunch of people laughing.
And when the game ends, it plays the MASH outro jingle.
Beep. And everything would freeze frame. Yep. Show me, you know, a bunch of names I don't remember of people who are dead now in Hollywood, and then we're done. I like it. It's a good idea. Cool. What else? There's reward structure. Let's talk about that real quick before we move on. They will ask players to play 3 games a week and give you 1,000 gold. That's actually a decent amount of money in this game, considering what it takes to earn that same amount of gold any other way. So That actually really impresses me and is a big draw. And you get three portraits to collect. Does that mean you get three portraits to collect and you can get all three if you play all three games? Is that the deal?
Unclear at this time. They've just shown what the portraits look like.
Yeah.
They look like portraits.
They showed three of them.
Okay.
Yeah.
One looked like That's snow true. Or something, and I don't see. I guess I could click this.
There's one with hammer, which I imagine is play the hammer time, which is a 5v5 Sergeant Hammer match I saw as well.
Good lord!
Yeah,
really? See, that sounds awful to me. I don't know why.
Yeah, but
so
they
bad.
Have boosters engaged at all times, so you're going to jet around the arena.
Is that true?
Fast.
Is that true?
Yeah, that's true.
Oh my gosh! All right, I changed my mind. I'm all back in on the hammer time. That sounds great. I mean, that's the problem is the things they describe are only fun if you really tweak out what's happening. And
I think we reserve our judgment on whether this is going to be fun or not till it comes next week.
Yeah,
we can try and TR.
Yeah.
I will say this, though, just as a one more brief bit of salt before I'm nothing but sweet until I know otherwise.
All right.
The reward structure is yet another nail in the coffin of Heroes needs better rewards for things.
Mm.
That 1,000 gold is awesome. I hope that number doesn't change because that's an awesome number. But portraits are, I'm sorry, a completely lame reward, and there needs to be better rewards in this game.
I don't like I don't like him in any games. I hate games that give me portraits. I don't care about those. I mean,
I think they're okay, but they're not that exciting. I want to see them find a way to greatly expand things that are rewards and heroes, whether that's more color variations that maybe only come from loot boxes or achievements or whatever they want to tie them to, for mounts, for heroes, skins, which, you know, those take a while. They put a lot of effort into them, so I don't think that's ever going to happen. But like we said, announcer packs. They could have it to where you could select your own loading screen and have those be unlockables. UIs, like, they just need to find more ways to offer different kind of rewards in this game beyond just, you get a portrait.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, portraits don't do it for me anymore. Not like, I mean, I shouldn't say they ever did. I like it as just I got a portrait as a thing I did. I watched a Twitch stream and just got a free thing. That's cool. But I'm not going to work hard to earn a portrait ever. We got some good news, though, for everybody who's looking forward to new stuff coming from this game. A new hero reveal is happening on October 6th with a Samwise, not Gamgee, I don't mean to Mr. Frodo, not him, Samwise Didier. You know him as one of the most legendary artists at Blizzard, kind of the one that started it all. Well, him and Metzen, anyway, the guys drawing in the early days. And he's still there, kind of head of all art at Blizzard, and he's doing an art stream, and in that stream, we'll reveal a new character coming to the Nexus. Do we have any idea who this will be? And it will probably be the last hero we get before BlizzCon, or even announced hero we get before BlizzCon. So I have a lot of anticipation for this, and this is when? Thursday?
Thursday, I think.
Thursday. We don't have the time for it, but I'm really...
Thursday, October 6th, 8 a.m. Pacific.
Okay. I'm very interested in this. I'll be doing your morning show, but I'll catch it as
quick
as I can.
That's when Samwise starts work, you know, just like the rest of us. He gets up, takes a shower, evacuates maybe, brushes his teeth, and rides into work.
Yeah.
His teacher calls, and kid's acting up maybe if he has one. I don't know, actually.
Drawing on the wall all that.
And then he's going to time to start drawing. He's all about... I saw one tweet from him. He's like, you should create something every day. If you're not creating something every day, something wrong with you.
He's right.
Something like that.
I agree with him. Yeah. So, okay. Any ideas? Like, I feel like we can have some hints here because he is responsible for some pretty iconic character creation. Pandaria is all him. That was based on an original drawing he did of, you know, what would become Chen. This idea of pandas in that world was all his idea. So we kind of know where he comes from, but we've got Chen and we've got Lili, and what other panda dude we might, you know, I don't know. I'm not, this isn't me saying maybe it's a panda. I'm just saying, what do we think he's going to do? And I
saying
really,
he's got a history of panda related content.
He really does. He's got a few pandas in his belt. I just don't know how, I don't know what else to think. I mean, I don't have a prediction. I just don't know.
Well, Samuro, right?
I think that's the obvious one. We've been hearing whispers about the Blade Master Samuro. I mean, he's got Sam right in the name. There was apparently, I don't remember what it was. I think it was a banner that was hidden in the promotional art image.
It's an Easter egg where you click the arcade machines, a little Street Fighter version of Samuro versus Samuro appears and, you know.
So wait, where is this character from? WoW or StarCraft?
WoW.
WoW, okay. Why do I not know that name? Why is it not ringing a bell? I mean, I knew about the arcade
thing. You know
him
as the Blade Master from Warcraft 3?
Oh, is he, what race is he, though?
He's orc. He's based on he has an incarnation. The character Samuro is in the Elite Tauren Chieftain, right?
Now I know who it is. Okay.
We talked about this, but he's not an ETC member.
Right.
This is the Blade Master from Warcraft 3. You know, we see them all the time. They're the guys running around with the big flag sticking out of their butt.
Yeah.
Like, that's what they do.
Strapped to their back, but yeah, I know what you mean. I don't think it's sticking out of their butt.
Well, something has
John's
to
good at heroes, not anatomy.
You mean they're pinching in their cheeks? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, just squeeze it in there, and then that's how you know it's strength.
Oh, good Lord.
It's like Kegels for a blade master.
No, you're getting worse.
Can I call this episode Kegels from Blade Master? That seems like a bad idea.
Blade Master Kegels. Wow. We're going to write them.
That's pretty good.
Wow, that's a good name. Hold on, they should rethink Samuro.
What race is Kegels, though? He's probably a shitty
one. Undead. I don't know why that's funny.
I don't either, but it's making me laugh. All right, well, who knows? We're going to find out. I don't have any predictions, Matt. That seems like a good one based on what we know about, you know, the name and his membership in the band and all that other stuff. But I don't think if it's him, he might just be Blade Master, though, right? I feel like we have a lot of those, like a lot of dudes with a couple swords and stuff, and they're mostly Protoss, to be fair, but I feel like we're kind of full up on them. Do we really need another dude like that, or am I getting too picky about...
Vol'jin's the other one that's getting tossed around, so is Varian. Because we had the leaked splash screen that showed up on some news sites.
And Varian was in it?
Yeah, they had to get Metzen in the booth quick for that one.
Yeah,
so
it's like, hurry up.
Maybe, yeah, hey, we need you to record some Varian dialogue.
But I just retired. No, get in here. Do what we tell you to do. How are we doing, Horde? He'll say as he walks in. Anyway, all right, well.
Introduction to the recording booth.
Also, hey, yo, we got another Zarya buff, like two now since her launch. I don't know that this feels unprecedented to me. Bo, what's the deal with Zarya and why so rapid with her patches?
I can only speculate. So we've had a patch of heroes that have come out pretty weak. So we're all going, okay, this is how things are going to be right now. Maybe either it's unintended or it is intended. But there's a sense that they release the hero, they give it a few weeks. They say, we don't like to tune things when we just release a hero. We want to see where it fits in the meta and then make the changes.
Yeah.
And I said, okay, well, at least they're giving it a couple weeks. Alarak recently got, I think, his first buff, you know, and he's been out for a little while now.
Yeah.
But Zarya came out, everyone said she's so weak, 30% win rate. I think she was probably lower. I mean, I don't even remember it happened so fast. All of a sudden,
super low. Mm-hmm.
Crank to 11. She's six top win rate on every map at every league. And they buffed various things. I don't remember all of them. I think we might have even talked about it.
They buffed everything, basically. Yeah. If it was a number on her kit, it got a buff of some kind. And then she got a little nerf.
Mm-hmm.
Then what they cranked up was her energy decay was 3 points per second. Yeah. You know, you charge that thing up and it goes down. Then they nerfed it or buffed it all the way to 1.5 per second. So half the time to decay, which means she could sit at high energy longer. And I played her a couple times in that period, and you were a sieging machine because you would just ignore your lane enemy, walk up to the tower, shield, self-shield, get full charge, and just sit there and pummel the laser, walk away and come back and just sort of do this dance. And you could split push better than a lot of specialists. I'm not sure if that's where they targeted the change, but that's how she felt. And then they tuned it back down to 2.5% energy decay. And it's really funny because that's where the power lies, because the higher uptime she has on her maximum charge, the more damage she does for longer or indefinitely. Like, the mechanic doesn't even matter.
Right.
So, yeah, there's been a lot of that going on. But there's two changes to her within the week that she's launched. Seems
it's crazy.
It is. It is. It's, I mean, it's unusual. And yeah.
I'm not going to complain about it because I want to play her more and I would like her to feel better. But maybe they just are swinging too far on the side of... I always think it's smart for a developer or anybody to, when they release something that requires a lot of balancing, to come out a little weak, because then you only look like you're improving it, not making them worse or nerfing them. Because I think players react more poorly to nerfs than they do buffs. But there's also a limit to that, and maybe they're just too far on the let's release some weak scale and need to make them.
I think the other side to that argument, and maybe what they were running into with Zarya, is if they come out too weak, people just don't play them. Mm-hmm. And if people don't play them, where's your data on how to improve the character?
Yep.
And they've had so many. I mean, when you looked, it's the tool we have to go off of. But when you look at HOTS logs and you look at the lowest winning heroes, at least at that time, it was like a who's who of who's been released recently. Mm. It was almost like, oh, look, it's all the characters that have been the most recent releases. And it's nice to have a character. She is probably still a little too strong, although now I think the reason we're seeing a delay before they make any more changes is because now people are actually playing her, so they're getting good feedback and good data, and because she's showing up in your games now, people are learning how to play against her, which also helps. Mm-hmm. If you don't see her, you don't know not to shoot the shield.
Right.
And I still see people doing that. We just played a game where I played her and I would pop up my shield and just watch people unload into it. Mm-hmm. And it's like, well, that's not going to do you guys any favors. You need to learn how to adapt around this play style, which nobody is going to learn if she's just never in any of the games.
That's a really good point. She needs, man, it's hard. If you start thinking about it that way, you realize how hard this stuff is. Like, it's not easy to release any new character into a growing base of characters and get it right. Like, it's near impossible. Have they ever had a launch where you're like, perfect, nailed it, didn't have to even try, well done? Like, maybe we've come close with Kael'thas and a few others, but they've certainly been through the ringer. And, you know,
Sylvanas, although she only had one viable ult, but she was still awesome.
Sure.
She's always been awesome.
That's true. That's she's always been pretty great. Yeah, I can't think of any others, though. They're always going to be something. But in the early days, it was they were too powerful. Now it's like, well, maybe it's just the sheer number of characters, and this is just the way it goes. But if you want to get good data on these characters, you can't do it based alone on just people's hype about what character it is. Like, you can't just be, ooh, Zarya, she's the big Russian lady with pink hair, I'm into that, I will play her no matter what. That doesn't work. People are like, who's viable? Who's good? I'm already good with this tank. Why would this tank be any good? Oh, my friend says she sucks, I'm not touching her. Then yeah. They have no data. Yeah. Then we're all screwed.
There's also a thing I'm going to start calling patch notes time zones. Mm. So not everyone is the same level of informed. And so when you have patches this frequently, you've got a guy who's three patches behind and a guy that's two patches behind and one patch behind. And no one can agree on what to ban or what to pick. And it sucks.
Yeah. No one wants to be Patch Adams is the bottom line. No, I said that.
No.
One final note here before we get to my favorite part of the show. And that is this. There was a tweet by someone we all know that seemed to be filled with frustration and consternation, or at the very least some pretty good data to suggest he should be filled with those things. It was our own Bo Schwartz, and here's how the tweet reads. 221, what's P/loss? Played, lost? Is that what that means?
Points.
Oh, points. Okay, 200, it's Twitter, guys, so he's, you know, less characters. 221 points lost, plus 180 points won, netting nearly 20% of points over 45 games. Here's the big kicker. Effectively, five losses invalidates one win. So for every five losses, you kill one of the wins you had. That's revelatory, dude.
So if your baseline for wins and losses is 200 points and you get adjusted, I'm getting actively adjusted in my games anecdotally because I didn't write it down because I just am not diligent like that and I should be. Mm. But I'm losing around 220 points, and when I win, I get 180 points. That's a 40-point differential, meaning if I'm at 50% win rate, I'm losing 40 points per game because, you know, I'm winning less than I'm losing more than I'm winning.
Yeah.
And that's effectively one game. That's after 10 games of 50% win rate, I'm down a game. and my brain understands this, and it actually, it's the first time that I've played Heroes, and I'm very forgiving about a lot of stuff about this game. I mean, there's lots of stuff I want to see, but, you know, generally pretty mellow, right? Mm-hmm. It's my reputation.
Sure.
This actually made me want to stop playing Hero League this week. Like, I actually was just like, what am I, why am I doing this? Like, that I don't want to be given wins.
Yeah.
I don't want to be given progression for the sake of progression. But there's a certain point where, so I ended, Matt, you're going to, don't play the Dear Martha music, please.
I'm not.
There's a certain point.
Now, this is one where I feel like you, this is a deserved rant, so I will not play the Dear Martha music.
I made it as high as Diamond 1 Promoter. Granted, I ended near Diamond 4. Great. You know, I took some losses to get there. And when they placed me Platinum 4, a whole 5 divisions down, didn't say anything, didn't like it, but willing to accept it and fight it. But now I've got to fight this point differential. Like, no, this is unacceptable. My experience is really bad here. And I know there's something to do with the problem is I'm playing against MMRs I believe are lower than me. So maybe I'm getting penalized accordingly to play against players that are weaker according to the system. But there's also uncertainty at the beginning of the season. And I have no idea how this is all affecting me. Like, the math doesn't add up when I try to hover over it and get an explanation. Mm-hmm. All I'm seeing is I'm losing value. My time is not valuable. And 50, like, I put in 666 games season one. That's a lot. I don't know that I want to do that every season. So what if I put in 100 games? Half of my games are at a deficit like this.
Yeah,
and I'm not weird. A 70%, 80% win rate player. I am a diligent 50 to 55% win player who progresses slowly and is willing to put in time and hard work to get there. Don't treat us like crap.
They are, you are essentially like, the player they want too. They want, you know, they're always talking about the happy place for us is 50% win rates for everybody. If we're doing that, characters are balanced, players are where we want them to be. Like it's the holy grail number. You're right where they want you, and you're being penalized kind of for being where they want you.
I don't want to go up, but I also don't want to go down if I'm 50% win rate. And seasons are short enough that I'm going to be doing this 4 times a year for a month when I play my first 50 games or so.
Yeah.
That I'm going to get like, no, like it's not a good experience. I want my previous season rank to matter more. I suspect, if I've put in a good number of games in season one, no uncertainty for me in season two. Sorry.
Yeah.
And furthermore, I am a big proponent, because I'm not really going to talk about it, but it's coming out now because of this situation, that a lot of players who are new, who get placed higher, and then one guy left a game, he didn't get the hero he want. In Platinum, the fourth highest tier, you'd expect better behavior from Platinum, not from Kindergarten in Bronze.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Where people who are learning to behave like adults in a competitive mode need to start.
Yeah.
Everyone should start at Bronze. Don't care. That's how I actually view this. People, there's an element of skill, but there's an element of earning it. And people who invest their time don't do dumb stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So to start people at higher tiers of skill, and then have, it's no wonder people behave poorly. They didn't earn it, so they don't respect what they got.
Yeah.
And I'm getting old man Schwartz on everyone here.
Wow.
But damn it, I put in 666 games, and I'm gonna put in a lot more. I don't want to play with chuckleheads who aren't willing to do that. I've earned my way out of Bronze. Let everyone else do the same.
All right. Here's your theme for that. All right. There you go.
All right. Anyways, I'm ranting.
Bo, yeah, no, but rant complete, but I think well said. Yeah. I'm nowhere near Bo's anything in this game, but I feel for you in that regard. And I'll tell you what, when you hear stuff like this where the truly dedicated and educated about Hero League are experiencing this and then find these kinds of statistics and it's, you know, sticks out, it makes those of us who think we may want to approach a more diligent path to Hero League, it deters us as well. Like, it doesn't make me want to do it anymore either when I hear about that, because I'm thinking, wait a minute, one of the better players I associate with is hitting this wall that is pretty ugly on the face of it once you just understand the numbers of it. Maybe they're hoping nobody understands the numbers. I don't know. That makes me not want to do it. So it has a trickle-down effect. It's trickle-down Bonomics. It's Bonomics.
Basically. Trickle-down. Like, I'm willing to accept where I'm at. As long as if I have 50%, then I stay where I am. Like, I just, it doesn't feel good.
Yeah.
I mean, to me, it, and I'm sure this is an oversimplification. Blizzard's got a lot they got to figure out. I don't want to make it sound like it's super simple. Why aren't you guys just doing it? But if your philosophy is going to be 50% is balanced, then 50% needs to not move your rank. Mm-hmm. Like, that's just the reality of the situation. That's the part that I find frustrating hearing Bo's story, is knowing that if I go into Hero League and I win 50% of my games, I'm going to be consistently dropping. That sounds awful, because to me, I think it's wrong to look at this as a ladder that needs to be climbed for rewards. And I don't know if the solution is get rid of the rewards, make the rewards, you know, for participating instead of, and, you know, let the kind of crappier rewards, the portraits and stuff, be the only thing you get. I don't know what the solution necessarily is, but I feel like so many people get into this and say, oh, I got to climb. I just got to climb and I got to just grind it out and I got to get there. I don't even want that. I just want to be at a place where I am 50-50. And I don't care if that for me is bronze. I don't care if that for me is master. I just want to be in that place, and I want to get to that place in as efficient and good and quick a way as possible, because the reality is when I go in and I play games, I'm not having a good experience right now because I'm not playing in a league that I find particularly interesting. I find that it underperforms compared to what my expectations and what I'm doing is. But that climb to get to that 50% isn't particularly fun. And knowing that even if I hit 50%, that's a slope downward, that's a big deterrent. Like you said, Scott, that makes me not want to do ranked.
Yeah. So hopefully this means, I don't know, they tend to listen to this stuff. I'm sure this is nothing new for them. They understand it and they know it. There must be, you know, there's got to be probably a whiteboard of reasons why this is a thing. But I think that, I don't know, I think it's a really valid point.
Well, I'm a customer, and this is my consumer experience, that playing with people who don't earn their way, like at that level, is not a good customer experience for me. And I think that's what I'm leaning on. Not like I'm a statistician, did all the number, like.
Yeah, you have every right to have that stance. I think it's an important stance, and I hope it. I don't know. I mean, they're not done obviously with the way Hero League works. I think they still have a lot more to do, and this, you know, doesn't change the fact that we're three raging Blizzard fanboys. But there is a point where you have to go, oof, this is weird, and we agree with you. So now that we're done with that tweet and that rant, which I loved. It's time for us to get real excited for a little bit of this. Oh, whoops, that's the wrong one. Sorry. I didn't mean to play that. All right, that sound can only mean one thing. There's a pig in the room, and we're starting Nexeprity. Who's hosting today? Bo, you're hosting.
I'm the host of Nexeprity.
Oh, that's right.
Not that imposter. Revendon Trebek
was the fastest, most efficient, and easiest follow game of Nexeprity.
Yes, it undermined all the tenets of Nexeprity, I would add. So, Nexeprity, welcome. Folks, if you're regular listeners, you know what it's about, so we're not going to explain the whole thing. If you're new, just try your best to follow along. It's like the Nexus. Very crazy. Hmm. So we're going to jump right into it. I don't remember who won last time. I feel like it was Scott, because John is usually happier about Nexeprity after he's won.
I don't remember. I win? It was. I don't remember. It's been a couple of weeks. I may have.
You know, I'll defer to Scott. I mean, technically, he did win last time because he beat you.
Oh, right.
Oh, okay. All right. We'll use that. All right. Scott, we're gonna roll to see who picks talents first.
Okay.
And who goes first? All so, over or under?
Let's do under today.
All right. I rolled a 91. So, John, you get to pick your talent first.
Good lord.
Okay, give me the one that's the you said something clever and you get money, because that's the only talent I like.
All right, Rejoinder of the Storm.
That's the one.
And Scott, help me point out if he says something particularly funny. Each time he says something funny, okay, he gains $100 or heals up to zero if he's below $0.
Okay.
Or he heals up to $100, sorry. All right. And Scott, which talent would you like?
Well, I don't remember. What do I have? What's the option?
Well, remember Nexeprity Master. That's the Ashalinori one.
Yeah.
Except this week you have to say Ogon Podagovnisti, or just Tobelstein. That's what you have to yell, because it's Zarya launch week. Canadian's Pursuit. So, you know, don't badmouth Nexeprity's questions or me or the other contestant, and you get $500 after Final Jeopardy. You get penalized each time you say something bad about any of that. Transmutation Wizard, you can start with a fountain drink and a Murloc egg, and you can turn any two items into another item of any guaranteed epic or higher, and any three items into a legendary.
All right.
It's all about transmutation. And the other one is Trade Chat Spelling Officer.
Yeah.
And when you answer a question, you can also spell it correctly for an additional 25% reward, and you get a loot box for every three correct spellings. You also, if you correct John's spelling or mine at any point in the game, you get an extra point toward the loot box.
Oh, man. That's a tempting one because we haven't tried it yet, but I think I'm going to go with Tobelstein.
All right.
But what's the word? What's the word he can't say? What's the word this time?
It's who or what. Okay. Anytime he says who or what, you got to say Tobelstein or whatever. You got to yell that out. All right. That's how this works.
The words I'm going to say are I'm going for the Tobelstein, even though I know it's not a correct pronunciation, but that's what I'm going to say. Is that
I'll be loose with you know, the pronunciation because it is Russian. It's kind of hard to say. All right. So the categories this week are thanks for the Heloris. It's like memories, but Heloris, right?
All right.
It's a good pun.
Yeah. Yep.
It's the Nexus, that's considered a good pun.
It's also very appropriate to the election season, but go ahead. Continue.
Yeah, so basically these are voice lines said by heroes when they're healed. You got to guess the hero name.
Okay.
Next one is Nexus Hero Story or Hero Story. It's a pun on history. These are getting better, right?
Mm-hmm. Following you.
The hint is history. There you go.
Okay.
It's hero's history. Next one is Then I Zar Ya Face. Now I'm a believer. And credit to John for thinking that one up.
All right.
Is that $100 for being clever?
Yes, you get $100.
Boom. In the lead.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Yep. He's already ahead, Scott. You better get that Tobelstein going.
I'm getting the did he already say a word? I missed it already. It's what?
No, I don't think so.
What is it? What or what is it? What or who? What is it?
What
I'm not
or who?
Giving you any ammo this game, Scott. Not a one. Last time you got a bunch of freebies. Not this time.
All right.
So let's get this road on the show.
Okay.
John, you're the high pick.
Wait, I got this. Hold on. Listen. I think I can play that when he does it. He hasn't done it yet, but I'm going to have that
handy. I think
handy.
You got to say it. That's kind of...
Oh, is that cheating? All right, I won't do
that. I do like hearing it, though.
Yeah, it's kind of cool, right?
So do I, but it's an unfair advantage. What if you have to do Next Jeopardy Master and you don't have a soundboard?
All right, we'll say it, Scott, but then maybe play it.
Okay, there you go. I'll just I'll fanfare it up. All right, go ahead.
All right, John, pick the first category, please.
Hi, Bo Trebek. I will take Then I Zar Ya Face. Now I'm a believer for 100, please.
Okay. All right. Here is the question. According to herself, Alexandra Zaryanova is the best example of this in the world.
Oh,
Scott.
She is the Who or what is the strongest woman in the world?
Correct. You've got $100.
Thank you
well
very
done.
Much.
And you earned a loot box. Let's see what you got.
All right. Thank you.
You can open, right?
All right. Yep. Please do.
All right. 48. What is that? You got a chaos rune. So you can use this chaos rune to make me read the next answer in a reverse order of words.
Okay. In a reverse chaos order? Rune.
Yep.
Okay.
All right.
There we
chaos.
Go.
You got a chaos.
That's a weird.
John says bring it. All right.
Weird
chaos
stuff.
Rune.
All right.
Gul'dan invented it. All right, and you have control of the board now, Scott, so what do you want? What question do you
let's
want?
Let's do... thanks for the Heloris for 100.
Okay. The answer is... Bah! I've known much better healers.
Beep.
John.
Listen carefully. Whom is Alarak?
Wow. I think that's bad grammar, but
it is, but
I'll allow
it. Yeah, you got to allow it.
So you get $100, $200, and also you get an initial extra $100 for being kind of clever with your wordplay there. So $300.
Whoa. I thought it had to be funny. Clever works? Okay.
All right. Yeah, rejoinder of the storm. It can be clever, but sometimes humor is not laugh out loud humor. It's just, humor.
Yeah.
All right, you get a loot box as well. You're going to open it, I assume?
Oh, of course.
All right, you rolled a 68. And what does a 68 get you? A Divine Shield energy drink. You can use it once to prevent the loss of money. Hey, cool. How fitting that you get the Uther ultimate item.
Fantastic.
I wonder if you could be clever with this item or not. All right, John, you're still in control of the board.
Well, Gorath Trebek, I'm going to take Nexus Hero Story for 100.
All right. So the answer is Mitch Dyer made this particular number the most famous in Nexus history.
Mitch Dyer?
The one and only Mitch Dyer. We all remember Mitch Dyer, who made this number the most famous in Nexus history. I bet your chat room has it by now.
I don't know.
Really? Okay. The answer is, what is 6.5? Man, you guys.
Oh!
He's the reviewer, the IGN reviewer. You guys should know that. Mitch Dyer. Come on, Mitch Dyer.
All right. Not really an IGN guy, but now I get it. All right.
John, still control the board.
Well, let's see if the history gets any better. I'll take Nexus Hero Story for 200.
All right, DJ Tyrant wanted viewers to do this at the Heroes Rising event, and Nexusites decided they very much wanted to.
Nope, it did not.
Mm-mm.
Do we have options to repeat the question? I just want to make sure I heard part of it right.
Okay, yeah, DJ Tyrant wanted viewers to do this at the Heroes Rising event, crowdfunded event, and Nexusites decided they very much wanted to. Scott.
What is CrowdSurf DJ, the DJ?
No, it's Stay Tight. It's like the big Heroes meme.
Oh.
You don't remember that?
Oh, gosh,
Stay
dang
tight.
It.
Stay Tight.
I do remember this now.
I forgot.
Minus 200 DKP.
Because she didn't know what the F to do.
All right, John, you still control the board.
Well, let's kill this category because clearly we're bad at it. Nexus Hero Story for 300, please.
When this feature was announced in the Heroes blog post of July of 2014, the most upvoted response on this was no, 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 no.
Did you say 2014?
I don't know the name.
You said 2014?
2014.
It's the Hero? Or the...
It was on a Hero's blog post of July of 2014.
Oh, I don't know the name.
I always get the name of it wrong, too, which is making me afraid to answer.
I mean, I know what... If I answered it, I could say... I could describe what it is, but that, you're not going to accept that, are you?
I need what it is. It's a tough one, but it's worth 300, bones. It's good. It's good. It's good reward.
I'm not going to remember the exact name. I'm going to pass on it.
All right. The answer is, what are artifacts?
Oh, I thought that's what I was thinking this time, too.
All right, John, you still in control of the board.
That's a
bummer.
Turns
out I did learn it. All right.
I was thinking of artifacts now, and wow, and it's hard to separate them. That's annoying.
That is actually exactly what threw me off, because I kept thinking the artifact system,
Yeah.
And I thought, no, you're just thinking of Legion.
Yeah.
Hi, Bo.
Hello. Would you like to select another question?
Sure. I'll take the Zarya face for 200.
It's kind of not nice.
Sure.
All right. All right. This is what Agon Pugatovnasti means in English.
Beep.
John?
Could it be fire at will?
Oh, you got it.
Oh, my gosh. Is it? Oh, because it's the other version. Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
When she's going for the Tobelstein on the other team, you hear a different thing. Yeah, I got it.
It seems hard because I'm asking you to translate Russian, but really you hear it all the time when you play the game.
The thing that made it hard was how to ask that question or answer that question correctly without giving Scott free money.
Did you say what is?
No.
No, I did not.
He didn't.
Oh.
I don't think he did.
That does. I gave it to you, but I really shouldn't have. You got by.
But how does he not do it?
Supposed to catch that?
How's he not supposed to? How's he not supposed to do it, though? Like, is there another way to say what? If he doesn't
He's supposed to give you opportunities to do it.
I'm giving him plenty of opportunities. Look at how much I'm talking to you right now. He's getting opportunities. I'm just not giving him free opportunities.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. All right. So remember, we only have three questions left. So, John, pick the next question, please.
I'm losing
Zarya
so
Face
bad.
For 300, please.
All right. When visiting the Nexus, this is the rate of measured decay on Zarya's energy shield. This is a troll question.
Wait.
But if you
don't
know
think it, there's enough information here currently.
When visiting the Nexus, this is the current rate of measured decay on Zarya's energy shield.
Beep.
John.
I believe that is 2.5.
You got it right. Oh, wait.
There's a question mark. Did you hear the way my went up?
That's not acceptable format for an answer.
Oh, interesting.
It's what is or who is?
You took whom is.
Yeah, because it was clever.
My four
but it's actually incorrect. It's actually incorrect grammar and not acceptable on a going forward basis. The judges have just ruled. All right. What is you said? What
that's
is,
a, what is a, there's a Tolstein.
All right. Scott got
he
a Tolstein.
He is way too late on that, especially given right. the
game. There you go. I did.
Well, there right.
It's in.
First of all, you got the answer right now that you said it. Remember, Nexeperty Master was nerfed in the last patch. He needs to get six of these.
I know.
Don't
I'm
be
trying
stingy to with giving him time. let Scott play the game too. All right.
I'm losing so bad today, though, just on the face right. of it, so it's fine.
John, I am. Next question, please.
I'm doing terrible.
You're losing what?
I'm losing this game. Beat Tolstein!
I just gave him two.
He gave me one. Oh, you did two of them?
I did two of them. Just to help you out, man.
All right, we'll give him two more. He's got three of six now.
All right,
John, next questions.
Oh, I'll take thanks for the healeries. For
whatever's left, right? There's only one left.
200, 300.
Oh.
Yeah, let's do 200.
All right.
Oh, Luke Cash, you both get
items. No, wait, but it's Tolstein. He said whatever's left.
Oh, okay, acceptable.
All right.
All right, that's four. All right, you guys both get a loot box. John, this is let's roll yours first. 27. Ooh. You got the tattered journal of Iogen 6.5 of the Explorers League. You can read the journal to become irritated. You can burn the journal to feel better. And the New York Book Times Book Review gave it a 6.5 out of 10. Otherwise, it doesn't do much. Let's see what you got, Scott.
What happens when Scott gets to six?
It's the Tolstein. He said, "What happens?"
He gets plus 50% to all of his winnings when he wins something.
Okay, so he's at five now, right?
Yeah, he's at five.
Okay.
All right, Scott, you rolled an 84.
Did you add my Tolstein just now?
Yeah. Okay. I did. Yes, I all did. Right, absolutely. Right.
Just making sure you got it. All right.
So you rolled an 84, which means you get you found Blackheart's booty bag and you gained $500 immediately.
Ugh. I mean, so yay. Yay, but that booty bag's gross. But yay. Wait, $500? Really?
Yeah, so it's now $900 to $400. We have a positive game, folks. And hey, you could bring it back by getting this next one right, Scott.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Okay. So here it is. Healing magic. Quaint, but useful.
What?
Was that an impression at the same time?
It was. Healing magic. Quaint.
Beep.
But useful. John, you buzzed in.
Whom is Prince Kael'thas Sunstrider?
Incorrect.
I'll use my item.
What's your? Oh, you're protected from money loss. All right, John, Scott, do you have a guess at what this might be?
Can you do the impression one more time, please?
All right, healing magic, quaint.
His impression's getting better.
Quaint but useful.
But useful.
I'll give you a hint. It's not Prince Kael'thas Sunstrider.
Yeah, I got that. I'm gonna say I don't know, so I'm not gonna answer that. I don't know.
No, you should guess.
Oh, do I not lose money if I guess?
No, you do.
Oh, well, then I'm not guessing. I'm not guessing.
He drank the Divine Energy Shield drink, and he didn't share it with you. You know, you could each take a sip, drinking half, and just protect yourself.
Half shield for each of us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I drank the whole Divine Shield.
I'm going to say no, because I don't want to answer that.
All right. The answer is, who is Zool?
Oh, Zool says that?
Healing magic.
Your Quaint. Zool impression needs work.
But useful. All right. Here's the last question, you guys. Okay. All right. You ready for it?
Yeah.
This is, thanks for the healeries for 300.
All right.
Good. That's a legit voice line, I might add. It's pretty gross.
Okay. Yep. We got it.
Okay. No one wants to hear me do that anymore.
No.
One chat room. You want to hear it again?
No. I don't think they do. I feel like a really big hobo man is relieving himself over a bench or something.
It's healing. Sometimes you really need it, especially this guy. He constantly needs healing.
Okay.
There's a hint.
I'm gonna give it to you.
Oh, you're buzzing in?
Yeah.
So Scott, what is it?
Who is Stitches?
Oh, I really wanted to get this one, Scott. It's incorrect.
Damn it!
John, anything? No? All right, I'm counting down. Long timer. Why didn't you take Canadian's Pursuit? You would have done well. All right, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. The answer is, who is Gul'dan?
Oh, really?
Good. I guess I didn't put enough bass. Maybe it wasn't enough bass in that. That is a legit voice line. I heard it and I died laughing. This is gross.
This is the worst this is the worst erotic audio fan fiction I've ever heard in my life.
I'd like to know how many times that guy did that take to get the right, sound in the booth.
Everything's gross about it.
We are at the end of regular next Jeopardy. The final scores are 900 to 100. Let's move on to the final Jeopardy.
Getting murdered here.
All right. The category is reported for inactivity. And the hint is that it's a character hero name. Okay. Vague. Here is the question. You guys ready for this?
Reported for inactivity.
Wait. Before I read it, I need to know how much people are betting.
Oh.
John, as the contender, how much do you wager?
$1.
You're so cruel in your head. Okay. John or Scott,
I'm going to wager. You know what? I mean, it's not going to matter. So I'm just going to wager $1. Or, I mean, 100.
Yeah.
I mean, 100 because that's all I have.
Go all in. Go all in.
Yeah, I'm all in.
All right. Here's the question. Or here's the answer. According to the unofficial hero censuses of January, May, and August of 2016 by Redditor Gwell's Heroes, this Warcraft character was consistently voted most desired of currently unannounced heroes to be added to the Nexus. We should ask Father Inigo Montoy about this. There's a bicycle. You guys have answers?
Yeah, I do. So we both have an answer, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
So as the contender, let's have you answer first, Scott. What did you answer?
This is not going to be right. I just know it's not right. Let me just make sure I'm going to say it. You ready? King Terranus.
All right. We'll let you know in a second.
Yeah, John? I think the tone of your transition maybe told me all I needed to know. But okay, I'll wait
John,
for
what,
it.
What did you answer?
Well, your additional hint threw me off. I always thought one of the most desired characters was Kel'Thuzad.
Okay, is that your answer?
That's my answer.
All right. So Scott, your answer was incorrect. You lose $100 and then that's zero, which is better than some games.
Yeah,
so congratulations.
Thanks.
And John, you won $1 for the correct answer.
Oh, that's Kel'Thuzad?
It's Kel'Thuzad because what happens when you killed Kel'Thuzad in vanilla, you'd bring the phylactery. I think you were compelled to bring it to that guy in Light's Hope Chapel.
Yeah.
And then he actually was a secret enemy and used it to bring back Kel'Thuzad.
But where's the father part? I thought it was a father thing.
Well, he's Father Inigo Montoya. That's like his designation.
Oh, that's his name?
Oh, shit.
So they used a Princess Bride reference to bring back a major lore character?
That is so dumb if they did that.
There's so many, I could have said interlopers or so many things that would have been a dead giveaway. I figured that was arcane enough, yet referential enough, but maybe in the wrong way. Anyways, congratulations to John.
And by the way, if you're counting, I would be about negative 500 if I didn't have a few total stains. So, no, I didn't get any money because I didn't earn six.
I stopped at five.
You
didn't complete the quest. It always feels bad in Next Jeopardy when you don't complete your quest talents.
That's right. Because it didn't used to be a quest. It used to be just get them. Now I got a quest for them.
Well, the difference is it's six this time instead of three, because three was too easy. You got that in like 2 seconds and then just stomped. Yeah. And I felt like it was imbalanced. So yeah.
Well done.
Gotta work harder.
Yeah, listen, you're doing good job. Good work over there at, we're going to call you Wizard, not Blizzard. And you're making this game. Every time there's a new patch, we're really thrilled. Can't wait to see the new characters.
Shit Wizard Industries.
Shit Wizard Industries, everybody. Well done. And this one's for me. All right, time for this. A quick email from a listener named Chris, who wrote in to tell us the following. By the way, if you'd like to do that yourself, you can. core@heroesforyou.com or leave us voicemails, which I have a pile to go through and I'm lazy and haven't done, at 801-471-0462. I am sure there's some good core stuff in there. I just need to get to them. Chris says this: I have many hundreds of hours in Dota, big Valve fan, and I contribute and watch the international competition each year. But I got out of playing Dota because the skill investment and the long games and research time needed to stay at the top of the games. He didn't like that. I do think that Heroes is more accessible, and to me, it's more fun to play. I love to watch football, watch the strategic skill involved, but when I play racquetball or ultimate frisbee, as those are more accessible to me. However, we can go the opposite way. I'm not really excited to watch competitive play in Heroes. I do prefer watching League of Dota. Or League, excuse me, League or Dota. I was like, whoops. And I think it's because of that imbalance and skill, that imbalance and skill play. I'm not sure what that means. Anyway, I watched watching a skilled carry out level. I don't know what that means. And out farm the opponents and then get into the dominant battles. Or even watching a skillful underdog come in and beat a stronger opponent just at the right time. These are great drama to watch, and I don't see that as much in Heroes. Love my Heroes, and I love the topic of comparing it to other experiences. I guess I wish we'd go more for differentiation than being as good as Dota or League. Heroes is about the characters, as much about the fighting. Blizzard could build on characters rather than focusing on top-end competition. That's the way they're going right now, Chris. You hear that sometimes, that they're... desire, as we talked about last week with their new initiative for the Global Heroes Championship stuff, is to definitely take things to the next level. I don't totally agree with this person. Obviously, he and I agree that Heroes is the one to play. I'm right there with you for the same reasons. But I actually think it's more fun to watch for the opposite reasons of what you're saying. I do think that that drama is there. Now, if you're saying that you need that hour to watch somebody level out in the jungle until he can fight, that's the fun part, then you and I think two different things are very fun. Like, that's not fun for me at all. What I want to see is really skillful play up in your face, and I want to see it in 20 minutes. And then I want to see it for the second game and then the third game and not 6 hours later. So that's my stance on it. I totally get it, and I'm glad all these things exist. I mean, don't get me wrong, and obviously they wouldn't, League wouldn't have the following it has, or Dota to, some lesser level if it wasn't for the fact that those are great games for those who play it and for those who watch it. And there's definitely, a lot to live up to in that competitive scene. But for me and my money, I would really much rather watch a Heroes match, because I'm going to get more of that top level play more often with all the fluff cut out. And it's the same, it's the same reason, like he says he likes football for the same reasons I like football. But I also like watching football and playing football for the same reasons. I find it not that complicated, and it's a lot of action, and it's the difference between that and, say, soccer, where we're kicking the ball a lot and making very few goals, which doesn't interest me as much, but I like to play a video game version of it. So hopefully everything I just said makes some sense, but that's kind of where my head's at. Bo, what's your response to this sort of thing?
My initial reaction to this person's email is, it's like you're at the bar with your sports-oriented friends, and they're going, I think I've had this conversation the other day. Someone's like, man, basketball, that's a true sport. Mm-hmm. It's like, no, hockey's a true sport. That's where all the real skill is. Mm-hmm. I think you can just do the same things with these games. Like, this is clearly, and no disrespect to you. Thank you for writing in.
All right,
Chris. But you know, it's like saying, well, there's just so much more skill involved. Like people who love soccer, like nobody watches soccer in North America. Yeah, there's all these people like soccer is actually the hardest sport. You got to run around all the time and you got to know how to juggle balls and look handsome. It's very difficult and not to dodge red cards and yellow cards. So it's just a question of like heroes. Like that's not really competitive. I think it's just kind of poo-poo. It's just an opinion. Like they're all MOBAs and they all share a lot of similarities. And they share differences and they require a different skill set. The fact is that I don't think somebody who's super good at farming or micro is actually that compelling. I think StarCraft 2 suffers because of this, because there's cool stuff in StarCraft and then there's boring as crap stuff in StarCraft. Yeah. Like I can't follow build order. Like it's not watchable. You either have to invest in knowing in it or like, yeah, it's impressive, but also who cares?
Yeah.
And I think in our esports, we're looking for some kind of middle ground. And I think where Heroes has a leg up on something like Dota and League is that it is more accessible to watch because it's literally he shot Pyroblast. Like it's just understandable. Those sports are not watchable if you're not into it. The thing about it is that lots of people are into it, so lots of people are in the know. And then you're again back to people just like one sport over the other, and they both take skill. And there isn't really a conversation to be had about which one is harder to do.
You said what I meant in a way better way than I said it. John, what's your take?
I mean, I think you guys really nailed it. When I hear what this guy wrote, I don't necessarily disagree with him in that, you know, obviously he's stating his opinion. His opinion isn't going to be wrong for him. But I think what he is focusing on is not what I focus on when I'm looking at a match. And I think Heroes skill, you're right. People in Heroes, they're not, you know, leveling solo as a carry to really pull out some amazing plays at the end of the game. Instead, they're going to be making plays in different ways. The people that we would consider a carry for a team or something like that is going to play out very differently in Heroes. And so I think it's just what you go in looking for. I played baseball when I was younger. I find baseball very interesting as a result. A lot of people will tell you baseball's not interesting to watch. So it just comes down to what you want out of the experience and finding that place for you. And I think it's cool, and I do agree with him that we're better off in a place where you can say, this is what I like to play, this is what I like to watch. Mm-hmm. And I think it's awesome that he gave both a chance. Where I start to get frustrated with people is the people who don't look at or try Heroes and just go up baby game at a surface level. Mm-hmm. You know, that's where my issue starts to arise.
Yeah, or even point. The other way around. Like I don't ever want to be that guy who says, well, screw League, it's dumb. I don't know what's wrong with everyone. Obviously, I'm playing the superior game because that's just as dumb. Like I shouldn't say that. Now, I played the game and I didn't like it, but that doesn't mean that lots of other people shouldn't. But it's so easy to get tribal about this stuff on both sides of the coin, especially on the League of Legends coin, because it is the dominant player in the market. It's that's just the way it is. Like, and tribalism leads to some grumpy shit, and you should try to avoid that. In the same way that it does for, you know, even within single sports, if you're a Dallas fan and you go to an Eagles game and you're rooting for Dallas in the wrong section of seats, people are going to want to beat you up and egg your car. Well, that's dumb too. You know, it's all dumb. At the end of the day, just play the thing you want to play and watch the thing you want to play or watch. And I'm hoping that Blizzard's new investment in esports with Heroes next year specifically will get it to a place where it's where it finds a happier place like that, because I think it deserves it and is it's similar enough to traditional MOBAs to be a target for tribalist fans of those MOBAs, but it's far enough away from those MOBAs for them to have another excuse not to take it seriously, because to them it's not a real MOBA. Like, it's a weird place that it's almost, in a lot of ways, Blizzard took a great risk by doing what they did. And I, for one, applaud it, because it's giving me a game I actually want to play instead of one that I'm not that interested in. So there you go.
Yeah.
Thanks for the email, though, Chris. You guys can send them in anytime. core@heroesforyou.com is the email address, or you can send us voicemails at 801-471-0462. Just leave us a call. Super simple. Keep them short. Keep them interesting. We'll play them on the show. Heroesforyou.com is the website that you're going to want to go to, because everything's there. So if any of this stuff you think we talked about, you forgot, you can go there and then find ways to listen to the show, review us where you get the shows, that kind of stuff would be great. Alpha Geek Radio does a little simulcast of the show. Big thanks to them. Join us at /frogpants in the game and play with other game or other gamers just like us. Also, what else? Oh, on Twitter, Bo Schwartz, Scott Johnson, and John_Jagger. That's going to do it for us, for me, for Bo, for John, for all of you. We'll see you next time. Bye.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Yes. Get more at frogpants.com.
There you go.